Welcome to Docs in a Pod, presented by WellMed. Over the next half hour, Docs in a Pod will educate you about the health and wellness of adults everywhere. Co-host Dr. Tamika Perry and former television broadcaster Gina Galaviz will share information to improve your health and well-being. And now here are Gina Galaviz and Dr. Tamika Perry.
Welcome to the award-winning Docs in a Pod, presented by WellMed. I'm your host, Gina Galaviz Eisenberg, sitting in today for Ron Aaron, who's on special assignments. We're so pleased to have you with us. Docs in the Pod is available on podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. And we're also on the radio in several cities in Texas and Florida. Each week, we talk about a variety of health and wellness-related issues as they impact Medicare, eligible seniors, and others. And our co-host is Dr. Tamika Perry. She's everything. She knows everything. She knows everyone. She's an associate medical director at WellMed, and she oversees several large clinics because she can. She also helps the organization live out its mission of helping the sick become well and helping patients understand and control their health in a lifelong effort at wellness. She's got a passion for providing primary care in underserved communities and going on medical missions abroad. And she just has a lot of common sense, and she's got an excellent bedside manner. She lives in Dallas. I'm here in San Antonio right now, so wishing you were down here, but that's okay. If we're ever up there, you never know. She's got a daughter, and in her free time, they love to travel together. Welcome, Dr. Perry.
Thank you, Gina. And your check is in the mail for that introduction. That was awesome. Thank you.
Well, I keep fine tuning it each time. Okay. No, it's easy to talk about you because you do so much for so many. And I just love your approach to medicine.
Thank you. You know, I am super excited about today's topic, talking about approaches to medicine and utilization of health services. And one of them is the emergency room, when we should and when we shouldn't. So I am excited to see what Ms. Trevino has to say.
Oh, yes. I can't wait to ask her some questions, too. So according to the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, nearly 136 million people visit emergency rooms in the United States every year. And 30% of those visits are related to injuries. And with that, I would like to introduce our very special guest, Gabriella Trevino. She's a nurse practitioner at WellMed at Medical Tower, located in Corpus Christi, Texas. She earned her doctorate of nursing from the University of the Incarnate Word in San Antonio. She's board certified family nurse practitioner. And when she's not helping people get well, she enjoys cycling and caring for her two dogs and a cat. Welcome, Gabriella. We're so glad you're here today.
Hi, thank you guys for having me.
You know, I was in the ER recently, not with my husband, Ron, who is a WellMed patient, but with our 12-year-old, because she like cut herself or she broke her arm or she, you name it. And that's where we are, right? But in an emergency, are we ever really prepared to go to the ER? I mean, we should be, but we're not.
Right. I think that, you know, we just want help as quickly as possible. And that can be a really great place to go. But WellMed also has several services and processes that make it very easy for patients to get services quickly if needed.
Do you find that some people use ER as their doctor?
Oh, yeah, they really do. And it makes me really sad because we are here for them. And we do, like I said, we have multiple people that can help them, all the way from, you know, the front desk to our nurses, our healthcare managers. There's so many people that are there in their hands to help them.
Who should go to the clinic, to an ER, Dr. Perry?
You know what, you like took the words out of my mouth, Gina. That's why you're my favorite Eisenberg.
We got telepathy here going.
Yes, we got that telepathy going on. So, you know, not all diagnoses or not all symptoms are necessarily ER appropriate, right, Gabriella? You know, people like to go to the ER for an exacerbation or a worsening of chronic symptoms like chronic low back pain. That's certainly your main office can take care of, or even as something as simple as a cut. You know, all cuts don't necessarily have to be sutured in the ER. You know, I do sutures in my office all the time. cold-like symptoms. Every cold is not pneumonia or even COVID. And even if it is COVID, it doesn't necessarily warrant the ER. We want you to have a great relationship with your primary care provider and know, particularly if they're a WellMed provider, maybe Gabriella and I are just biased, but particularly if you're a WellMed provider, you know, you have an open forum to be able to call us at any time. In the middle of the night, Christmas, Mother's Day, Easter, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, it doesn't matter. You can call us and somebody, a medical professional from your office, is going to get back with you. And like Ms. Trevino was saying, Grabiola was saying, we have avenues where nurse practitioners, physicians can come to your house if need be in the evening. We can see you the next morning. We can call stuff in, because the last thing that Gabriella and I want is for you to get sicker in the ER. You go wait in the lobby for 8 hours because you had low back pain, and while you were there, you got COVID. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, because you can pick more stuff up in the ER. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, but first of all, for those who just joined us, you're listening to the award-winning Docs in a Pod. I'm Gina Galaviz-Eisenberg, sitting in for Ron Aaron, and our co-host is Dr. Tamika Perry, and our guest is nurse practitioner Gabriella Trevino with WellMed at Medical Tower in Corpus Christi, Texas. We're talking ER visits, the why and the why not. I mean, is there a checklist that we should like go through mentally before we head to the ER? Or does time of the day determine if we're thinking ER?
Yeah, time of day wouldn't really be a huge factor, because just like Dr. Perry said, we have around the clock availability, whether it be by phone or an after hours clinic that you can be seen. It's really more of what are you experiencing? Did this come on suddenly, such as sudden chest pain? Did you fall and you feel like you have a fracture and you need very, very quick services? Those type of sudden onset of symptoms are really what's answering some of those questions for us sometimes.
And don't get me wrong, the ER provides wonderful services and it saves lives, thousands if not millions of lives every year. But the ER services are utilized quite often in the wrong way and overutilized. And there can be a reduction of adverse outcomes by utilizing the proper services. So for example, like she was, you know, saying earlier, absolutely, you fall and break your leg, there's a bone sticking out, go to the ER. Go to the ER. But if that back is aching and you've had low back pain for years and it's aching a little bit more than it was, you know, yesterday, call me. Call Gabriella, because we're going to fix that. You don't have to go sit in the ER for 8 hours, rack up a big bill, you know, for that. That's something that you should have, you know, treated by your primary care office. And once again, if your primary care provider cannot get you in, then maybe you should think about another one.
just you can say that a little louder. That's okay. There.
Maybe you should think about another one, because that's the relationship you're supposed to have with them. And every doctor, whether you're a WellMed provider or not, at least in the state of Texas, there has to be a conduit in which the patients can get a hold of you. So even when I was in private practice, after hours, I had an answering service that would get a hold of me. Now, I'm sure, you know, Gabriella, you're here in Texas. You're in Corpus Christi. So you got, the state says you have to be able to get in contact with us. So if you can't get in contact with your doctor, he's supposed to, or she's supposed to be in compliance with that. Honestly, you might want to find another provider. You might want to, because the ER is not your, I can't get in contact with my doctor, so I'm guessing I'm going to the ER. No, the doctor is your doctor.
I mean, ER, emergency room, you know, it's in the title.
Right. Not to get meds refilled, not to, you know, for your blood pressure checked up, not for minor sutures, cuts, coughs, not for even like COVID testing. Your regular doctor can do COVID testing.
Chest pains, yes. You know, pains, if you're having a heart attack, you know, that type of thing.
Those things are definitely yes. And even if you're having those things and you're not in immediate distress, like you, if you're having chest pain and you can, on the way there, call your doctor and let them know. And this is why, not so the doctor can deter you from going to the ER, because your doctor can give the ER doctor valuable information about you. That's who has the established relationship with you. Always keep us in the loop, always.
So just call your main number, like where you would make your appointment. And if it's the answering service, they'll get you through to your doc.
Absolutely.
Is that how that works?
That's absolutely how it works. They will text or call us, and we text or call you right back. You know, if you hear me in the background going, Taylor, be quiet. Don't call CPS or anything like that. I'm just telling my daughter I'm on the phone working now. You know what I mean?
Sounds like our house. Goodness, that's cool.
Yeah, so don't do that. But, you know, Gabriella, what are some of the common things that you see your patients go to the ER for that maybe could have been avoided, that ER visit could have been avoided?
That's a great question, Dr. Perry. I think some of the big ones are going to be, number one, uncontrolled blood pressure. First, you have to take your blood pressure medication. And if you have concerns about it, and that's why you're not taking it, we need to see you. Let's talk about it. Let's see what your concerns are. Let's see if there's any changes that we can make. Other concerns that we see are COPD exacerbations, meaning that, you know, you're having a hard time breathing. You have COPD, and, you know, a couple questions we need to ask ourselves are, do we have medications? Do we have our nebulizer treatments? Have we been using them? Has our primary care doctor or nurse practitioner told us how to use them properly and how frequently we can use them? And sometimes those things can keep us out of the ER and keep us away from additional illnesses that we don't need. And then I think the last one is going to be falls. And that's something that your primary care nurse practitioner, whoever you're being seen by, should be assessing every single time they see you, you know, and you should tell them, like, I have concerns for falls today, and see if there's something that we can get you, whether it be physical therapy, a walker, a cane. You know, these are discussions that your office, your primary care clinic are taking care of for you. The ER can only help you so much with certain things like that. They're not going to manage your blood pressure. They're going to bring it down temporarily, and then you need to see your primary care doctor or your office.
So if you fall and you hit your head, is that's another reason that I guess you should go, or you pass out for a while and you got a big.
Oh, absolutely. If you lose consciousness, you okay. know, hopefully somebody is taking you there. But yeah, exactly. If you're ever in doubt, absolutely. You know, if you're in doubt, absolutely go. We're not going to tell you that we don't want you to go to the ER. We're not. We just want you to make sure that you're going appropriately. Once again, good relationship with your primary care provider.
And you won't feel like you're bothering them with mm-hmm. these questions. Mm-hmm. We're going to continue this discussion in just a moment on ER visits. I'm Gina Galavis Eisenberg, along with our co-host, Dr. Tamika Perry. And our special guest is nurse practitioner Gabriella Trevino. You're listening to the award-winning Docs in a Pod. We'll be right back.
Turning 65, it's time for an important choice, deciding what Medicare coverage is best for you. WellMed can help. When you become a WellMed patient, you can connect our primary care with a Medicare Advantage plan. WellMed doctors and care teams spend quality time with you, listening and learning about your health. WellMed and a Medicare Advantage plan could be right for you. Choose WellMed. Learn more at 866-433-5048. That's 866-433-5048.
Thanks so much for staying with us on the award-winning Docs in a Pod. I'm Gina Galavis Eisenberg, along with our co-host, Dr. Tamika Perry, and our guest, nurse practitioner, Gabriella Trevino. Gabriella is with WellMed at Medical Tower in Corpus Christi. And, you know, we're talking about visits and when you should go. And, okay, if you determine and your WellMed doctor says, yes, go to the ER, sometimes it becomes a family reunion. I mean, I remember as a kid, you know, mm-hmm. so-and-so, grandma was in the ER, and my mom and my theas and my theos, everybody would show up. And then my cousins, it was like a family reunion, but it's so chaotic. Who should be there and who shouldn't be there?
The most important person that I want for my patients, for them to be in the ER, is usually their caregiver, if you have one. So if it's your daughter and she knows all of your medical history, she knows your medications forward and backwards, that's who I want there, so that she can, just her truly, you know, so she can stay focused on what's going on, so that when you do follow up with me afterwards, that she can give me a great history. She can put all the pieces together of why you went, and are there any additional needs afterwards? So really, the person who's most involved in your care would be the best person to go with you.
I totally agree. Before, you know, everybody and their mother and their mother and their mother comes, you know, wait until the provider says it's time to call everyone now. If they don't say that, don't have everyone coming.
Right.
Because a lot of times they just get in, you know, sometimes unfortunately just cause a little bit of chaos. Now, another thing to really try to kind of assess when you're in the ER, if you go and check into the ER, you tell the front desk your symptoms, the nurse checks you in and she says, now go have a seat in the lobby. You probably didn't need to go to the ER. If it was an emergency, they bring you back immediately. So if you're sitting there in the lobby going, when are they going to bring me back? That's a great time to call your doctor's office and say, listen, I'm here. This is what's going on. We want you to call before them. And if you haven't, if they sit you back down in the lobby, be prepared for your 8-hour wait. That's a great time to call your doctor and say, can I come on in? You tell me what's going on.
That's a great idea.
That's a great time.
Agreed.
That's a great idea. And I don't know why we don't think to do that.
Yeah, because if they put you back in the lobby, it's probably not an emergency. It's something that I'd rather you come sit in my lobby for 45 minutes to wait till we can work you in to go sit and then sit in the ER for 8 hours. And if you were in the ER for an exacerbation of COPD, heaven forbid you get COVID while you're there in the lobby where there's other people coughing and sneezing. You know what I mean?
That's right. So if you do go, take your mask maybe just in case while you're grabbing your pills.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, can we talk just briefly about caregivers? Because my personal experience with someone who's unnamed, he was at his doctor's office, right? And I was busy and he kept calling me. I'm like, why is he calling me? And it was like, hey, they want me to go to the ER because something, something, something. And I was like, so automatically I was like, oh my God, this is great. You think the worst, right? So I was doing some deep breathing.
Yeah.
Got there. I took an Uber there because I'm like, okay, he's at his doc's office. He's going to, they took him in the ambulance to the ER. That's how they were like, we're going to get you there right now. Mm-hmm. And then I took his car and then I drove there and it was calming down. So what as caregivers, when we're heading there to our patient, to our loved one, what should we be doing to support them?
I would just be running through maybe the last couple of days, any little concerns that maybe your person that you're going with had, so that you can help fill in the gaps. Like I mentioned earlier, that's going to, you know, ER doctors, they don't know your history. They don't know you. They only know what you tell them right there that very second. And that's why it is so important to keep your home office into the loop, because you know, your history makes a significant difference about what we think is going on sometimes. And so that's what I would have going, you know, in my mind, as well as any recent changes, whether it be medications or recent specialists, surgeries, any recent changes.
I totally and completely agree. It's also a good idea at any point in life, particularly for the senior population, if you have a list that's handy of like the medicines that you take and the specialists that you go to, whether that list is like, you know, a picture on your phone or whether it's an actual little card in your wallet. That way, if you're in a situation where you can't relay that information, at least it's on your person.
Mm-hmm. That's
right.
A great idea.
And that's part of our process too. You know, if someone comes in and they didn't know for sure if they were supposed to go to the ER, we evaluate them. We can print that out for you at your visit with your history, and you can take that with you to the ER. So that's something else that we can be involved in and help you make that decision.
Depending on the hospital, does a WellMed hospitalist usually meet you there? I know when we were there, they showed up and it was just so comforting knowing that part of our medical family was there, if you will.
Right.
From my understanding, they will come once the decision has been made as far as admission goes into the hospital. But yes, they are there and they text us once you're there and they let us know what's been going on, what you will possibly need afterwards. That's another beauty of being a part of WellMed, is it's so closed loop communication with everyone that's helping take care of you.
And it's helpful for follow-ups, right? Because as we mentioned,
absolutely,
they're just going to help you there. For the time being, we still need to go to you guys.
Gina, you make such a great point. So, you know, once you get out of the ER, it's super important that you follow up with Gabriella or myself within 7 days. And statistically, when you have that follow up, and we would prefer to see you in the office or a home visit if your particular clinic does home visits, or even a video visit, because we want to lay eyes on you, right? We prefer to examine you ourselves, but at the very least, we want to physically see you. And it's important because statistically, this cuts down on you having to go back to the ER, no matter what the complaint was for, and it cuts down on subsequent possible future admissions, because we can talk through what was your thought process and what was what to make you go to the ER and what happened while you were there. And this is what you need to go for, and this is what you don't need to go for, right? So if you went and you found out you had a urinary tract infection, so if your urinary tract infection goes just totally left in the wrong direction, let us give you the signs and symptoms so you know what to go for. Mm-hmm. And if and let us give you the signs and symptoms of when it's going right. Right. And that's what that follow-up visit is for. Let us go over the medications they gave you in the ER to make sure that they jive with all the medications that you're normally taking. Right.
Right.
So that's what that's the point of that, because a lot of patients are, what, why do I have to come to that? That is the point of that follow-up visit. That is that that face-to-face visit that was called the transition of care. I mean, Gabriella, what are some of the things that you do on your transition of care visit?
Exactly like you said, I really want to hear it from the patient's mouth, what happened, to see if there's anything that we can do better for you. We are here for you. You know, we need to know how to better take care of you. Maybe it's something we need to do better next time. Maybe it's something we need to provide education on. And even if you did go for something as simple as a UTI, you know, maybe you were taking the antibiotics and now you're not feeling great and you can't take them anymore. Maybe we can switch them up for you. You know, a lot of times referrals sometimes need to be placed and we're the ones that are going to put them there for you, but we'd still like to evaluate you ourselves and see what else is going on. Sometimes whenever you're in the ER, you get a lot of imaging done and there are things called incidental findings, meaning that it's not what we were actually looking for, but we just happen to notice and you do need follow-up on that. And we're the ones that look at those. We look at every single image that was done in the ER and we take part in that care.
So we get out of the ER and our patient is still resting at home. So of course, caregiver, we call, hey, my husband or my wife was in the ER last night. I need to schedule a visit. Is there some sense of urgency with the person who's picking up the phone to make our appointment?
Yes, absolutely. Within, we say, I think like 3 to 5 days after an ER visit.
Definitely so that, more than 7 days. We try to get that person in, preferably like Gabriella said, between the 3 and 5 day mark.
So if we're told, oh, well, they have something for you in a couple of weeks, we need to like stand up and go, no, no, no. Dr.
That's
Perry
right.
And Gabriella said 3 to 5 days.
Absolutely.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. So we only have probably about 3 more minutes. So wrapping up this, we could talk more about all this. What should we do? What kind of mental checklist should we have before we go to the ER?
The first checklist would be, is this something that me and my doctor have talked about in the past? As primary care providers, we talk about some like contingency plans. That means if this happens, this is what you need to do. So I want you to review that plan. If my blood pressure is higher than 160, they want me to take this medication. We've talked about this. So let's follow through that plan that's previously been discussed. If it has not been discussed, then like Dr. Perry said, give us a call. Maybe you just want to get a quick run through, a quick green light. Is this appropriate? Like she said, there's many things we can do in the office, sutures, nebulizer treatments, injections, things like that. Use us to the best of our ability. Give us a chance. We can do those things. And then if you'd go, please come and see us as soon as you can, so that we can stay involved in your care. We can see the bigger picture for you and see if there's anything else that we can provide for you. That's our job and that's what we want to do for you.
Okay. Dr. Perry, what would you say?
And remember, if you decide to go to the ER and they put you back in the lobby, again, call us while you're in the lobby, okay? That's even on the weekends, call us.
I'm going to call you for sure. I definitely will, because you certainly don't want to be there if you don't need to. Oh, and one thing I just thought of, if they give you a medication that you know you're not supposed to take, and they're like, oh, take this, you know, just don't do that, right? I mean, say they say, take this, and you've already told us, no, we don't want to do that because you know it's going to conflict with something you're taking.
That's all right. That's why the follow-up with us is so important.
So if you have to, wait before you start taking something until we talk to you.
Absolutely.
Because I guess a few days isn't going to like make that big of an issue if they send you out really quick or send you home right
now. And if it was a true emergency, you would have gone back quickly and you would have been admitted. So there it is.
Exactly. All right. So it's just be mindful, and your WellMed doctor or your nurse practitioner is your best friend. So we should always remember that.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
All right. Well, hey, thank you both. I've enjoyed visiting with you both today. So our nurse practitioner, Gabriella Trevino, and of course, our wonderful co-host, Dr. Tamika Perry. This has been a wonderful Docs in a Pod, and I'm so glad, and I hope we all learned from today's discussion. I'm Gina Galavis Eisenberg. In the words of the late Charles Osgood, I'll see you on the radio. Thanks, ladies.
Bye. Okay. Thank you.
Executive producers for Docs in a Pod are Dan Calderon and Leah Madrano. Our producer is Natalie Ibarra. Associate producer is Charisse Pendleton. Thank you for listening to Docs in a Pod, presented by WellMed. We welcome your emails with suggestions and comments on this program at radio@wellmed.net. Be sure and listen next week to Docs in a Pod, presented by WellMed.